لك مور جامز.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Early in-person voting began today in Florida. Election day is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Today on Midpoint, we continue to look at a few of the many races on the ballots in the Central Florida area, the West Central Florida area. The two that we're going to focus on during most of this show are in Pinellas County, but we'll hear about a lot of issues that are important to voters in all of our listening area. And I want to get your input. Have you already voted? What do you plan to, who do you plan to support? Did you vote in person today? How long was your wait? We heard from a couple of people who voted today in the last hour about their waits. We want to hear about your experience, so here's the number to call. We're not going to take phone calls right away, but we will get to it later in the show. The number is 813-239-9663. The email is dj@wmnf.org, or you can text us at 813-433-0885. And if you do text us, why don't you sign your name and tell us where you are texting from, please? And we're going to hear two online forums today, or we're going to try to get to most of them. Both of these online forums were hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the League of Women Voters of North Pinellas County. Later on in the show, we'll focus on the race for sheriff in Pinellas between Republican incumbent Bob Gualtieri and Democratic challenger Eliseo Santana. But first, we're going to look at a school board race in District 7. That's the south part of Pinellas County. It's a nonpartisan race between the two candidates with the most votes in August's primary election. Former St. Petersburg City Council Carl Nurse and elementary school educator Caprice Edmond. So here's the first segment of that forum moderated by Joe Hamilton, publisher of St. Pete Catalyst.
I have over 18 years of experience working with children and families in various capacities, as well as in an educational setting. I'm also a business owner. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's in educational leadership, a master's in elementary education, as well as a certification in infant family mental health. I have advocated on a local, state, and national level for all children.
Candidate Nurse, same question. What skills qualify you for this position?
Well, I will help in that. Then in the last 10 years, while I was on the city council, I worked in the schools surrounding Melrose Elementary, Campbell Park, Lakewood, which were three of the five schools that the school system called failure factories. And so I worked with the principals, primarily the principal at Melrose Elementary, as they went through a number of principals until they were able to turn the school around. And so I will say that I've run a business, not self-employed, but a business with 48 employees for the last 34 years. So I have deep knowledge of finances and of school finances, and how we uncover the money so that we can invest in the classrooms, which is where we really need to invest that. I had experience doing that in both on the city council and on Tampa Bay.
Thank you, candidate Nurse. We're actually going to stay with you for the next question, candidate Nurse. What is the biggest educational challenge facing your district?
The biggest challenge really is that at any given year, we may have 40% of the students who are doing reading and math below grade level. And that runs, it runs across the system. In some areas, it's worse than that. And so even though we are graduating about 80% of the students, many, many of them are not really prepared to go out and earn a living and are not really capable of going to college. And so we've got to improve the quality of our schools and invest in catching up the kids who are behind. The earlier we can invest in children who fall behind, the easier it is. You know, when you're in kindergarten, you can't be more than a year behind. But in 10th grade, you could be 3 or 4 years behind in a course.
Thank you. Candidate Edmond, what is the biggest educational challenge facing your district right now?
Academic achievement. Oftentimes in our district, our children are not performing proficiently. And that's because of various factors. And what I'm going to be advocating for, or continue to advocate for, is that we begin addressing the needs of the whole child. When we start meeting the basic needs of our children, we'll see more academic success and greater ability for them to handle some of the challenges that they may face in school and outside of the school system. Something else that we need to consider is that if our children aren't reading proficiently by the third grade, there are statistics that show that there's a pathway to the school-to-prison pipeline. As my opponent mentioned, our youth are graduating, but many of them are not ready for the real world. So we do need to make sure that we are providing resources and programs at an early age to let them know of the infinite potential that's available for them to succeed.
Thank you. We'll ask you to remind you to keep your answers to 1 minute as per the timer on your screen. Candidate Edmund, we're going to be sticking with you for question three. What should be done to improve family engagement with the school system?
Great question. I have done work with a nonprofit on a local and national level as it relates to transformative family engagement. And I'm proud to share that during several listening sessions, parents want better communication. And something that has transpired during this time is that the district is working hard to establish better communication. But what I would like to see is more, providing more family programs that support them as well as children, going out into the community and hosting resource fairs, whether it's at a school or a rec center. We are going to have to bring resources to our families that may not be able to make it to our schools or feel that there is a lack of trust. We're going to have to do a better job with building those relationships. And some of the work that I've done relates specifically to building family engagement.
Thank you. Candidate Nurse, what should be done to improve family engagement with the school system?
Well, I'll tell you that when I worked over at Melrose Elementary, one of the things that we found that worked well was the PTA meetings or the family back-to-school meetings became meals. And so it worked really much better if the family could bring all their children to school, have a meal, and engage with the parents, and that it overcame or engage with the teachers. It overcame some of the logistical issues that happened. And we found much more response to that. We also found that that parents responded much more to texts than they did phone calls. Sort of like children who won't call you back, but will respond to your texts. And so you have to try the different technologies. And the other thing, the major thing, is that we're going to have to move towards community schools. Melrose, as it reopens this year, is a wraparound school. So it has a whole series of social services that are around the school. Those are all things that help.
Well, that's Carl Nurse. He's the former St. Petersburg City Council member. He is running for school board in Pinellas County in District 7. That's a single district race where only people in District 7, which is South Pinellas, get to vote in that district. And his opponent is elementary school educator Caprice Edmund, who we heard from earlier, and we're going to continue to hear some of this forum. I just want to remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday on 88.5, and we're hearing from a forum that was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the League of Women Voters of North Pinellas County. And this is moderated by Joe Hamilton, publisher of St. Pete Catalyst. Let's hear some more. Oh, and by the way, in a little while, I will open up the phone. So if you want to tell us who you're supporting or what are the important issues to you or what are the important races that we haven't talked about yet, give us a call at 813-239-9663, or you can email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Here's more from Caprice Edmund and Carl Nurse.
Candidate Nurse, what is your position on expanding the curriculum to include teaching about the human effects on our local and global environment?
Well, you know, we continue to have ever hotter years, more hurricanes, more intense hurricanes, worse fires, worse floods. It's right in front of us. And so there's really a need to teach this largely in the science area. But the other thing that's exciting about that is that the two fastest growing jobs in America today are a wind farm technician and a solar installer. And so clean energy is also a tremendous opportunity for new jobs. And it does excite young people. And so I would hope that as we scale up our career readiness work, that we would do a better job connecting the students with this work. And the school system needs to do much more efforts to make our buildings efficient, which is part of the work towards, you know, clean energy and better jobs.
Thank you. Kennedy Edmund, same question. What is your position on expanding the curriculum to include teaching about the human effects on our local and global environment?
I think it's important that we include teaching our children or our students the effects of environment. As a science teacher, I have firsthand experience of doing that work and partnering with organizations outside of the school district like Sierra Club and USF St. Pete to bring in those resources to our school. On a larger scale, we can do a better job with ensuring that not only our students are understanding climate control and the impacts of the changes that are occurring in our environment, but we can ensure that we are working towards a greener schools, greener communities. Some of the things that I've learned during this journey of running for school board is that we are lacking.
Kennedy Edmund, this will be our first lightning round question. Excuse me, and this goes to you. We just asked for a yes or no answer to this particular question. In 2016, 76% county voters supported the referendum for a half-mill property tax for the schools. That referendum will again be on the November 3rd ballot. Do you support that referendum?
Yes.
Candidate Nurse?
Yes.
Moving on to question 6, Candidate Nurse, we'll start with you for this one. What should the district do to ensure that students who are not going to college have a successful career?
Well, one of the things that I hope to spend a lot of time on if I get elected is to scale up the work where we essentially create a path to the middle class for all students, where they put together a plan with counselors. And so that they understand that there are 100 different options that they have. Almost everything will require education beyond high school. But there are lots of apprenticeships, internships, certifications, two-year programs. It's really an endless list of opportunities for kids. But we really need to put together, I would say, an individual plan for each high school student. And some of the things they can learn in high school, but we need to make sure that they're connected so that when they leave high school, they go on to their post-high school pathway. I think that is a huge opportunity to change the dynamics and radically reduce poverty.
Thank you. Candidate Edmund, same question.
I believe that the district should start at elementary level, exposing students to the various opportunities that are out or are available. Here in St. Petersburg, we have Pinellas Technical, we have SPC, USF, Eckerd, and a host of other opportunities available for our children. But specifically relating to our technical schools, if we start exposing our children at an early age to those trades, they'll be more aligned to find out or learn something that piques their interest and follow through with attending that program or learning more. I think that it's important that we begin building more relationships and providing opportunities outside of the school system for our kids or our children to learn more about various careers.
Thank you. Candidate Edmund, we'll be sticking with you for question 7. What is your perspective on school choice and public funding for charter schools, private schools through vouchers, and how should the district and the school board provide support and accountability of all schools receiving funds, including private and charter schools?
I am a proud public school supporter. And our legislators, they are the persons or people that have determined the law that relates to the school board's decision to fund or support charter schools. So following the policies of our school board, I would ensure that charter school is held accountable based on the policies and practices as governed by our legislators, as well as working with our legislators on throughout the year to find better laws or build better bills that support public education. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Nurse, I'll repeat the question. What is your perspective on school choice and public funding for charter schools, private schools, through vouchers, and how should the district and the school board provide support and accountability of all schools receiving funds, including private and charter schools?
Well, you probably know the school system has to, the public school system has to approve charters. And we've had a rather mixed result with charters. We have some that are really excellent. And then we've had a number that have failed. And so I would say that we need to take a look back and see what did we do that allowed charters to open that then failed and closed often with just a few days notice. And then the school system had to catch up and put it back together. But parents want choices. And the legislature's made it very clear they're going to get choices. I think the one opportunity that we should think about is that if the legislature says charters don't have to abide by a whole series of rules and regulations so they can be more innovative, what is the logic of handcuffing the public school system with all those regulations? And so it may be an opportunity to have innovation at the public school level as well.
Well, that's Carl Nurse, a candidate for school board, District 7 in South Pinellas County. Before him, we heard his opponent, elementary school educator Caprice Edmond. And before we hear closing statements in this for these candidates, I'm going to remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. And it's 12:22 in the afternoon. And in just a few minutes, we're going to hear a little bit from a candidate forum for Pinellas County Sheriff. And I'm also encouraging you to call in or write or text if you would like to say who you're supporting in any of these races, or if you've already voted, or what your voting experience was like, especially if you voted today. In fact, we did get an email from Judith in Oldsmar, and Judith says that there's a steady stream of people dropping off ballots at the Safety Harbor Pinellas County ballot drop. And she says that already in Pinellas, more than 75,000 ballots have arrived by mail. You can check online and see if you check with your supervisor of elections to see if your mail ballot has been counted. So thank you for that email, Judith. And if you'd like to email, you can email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. If you'd like to call in, we'll be taking phone calls pretty soon. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. So again, we're going to hear about the sheriff's race between Republican incumbent Bob Gualtieri and Democratic challenger Eliseo Santana, who is a retired communications maintenance supervisor at the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. And you'll hear about topics in that one like defunding police, reducing prison population during COVID-19, and enforcement of immigration laws. So I hope you stay tuned and hear from the sheriff in Pinellas candidates. But right now we're going to hear the closing statements from Carl Nurse, who is running in District 7 for the school board, and his opponent, who we'll hear from first. This is elementary school educator Caprice Edmond.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to share with everyone my platform and my qualifications. I am a highly qualified candidate for the seat because I have been doing this work consistently on a local, state, and national level for over 18 years, working with children and families in various capacities, from youth in foster care to being an educator now. We have so much at stake right now. And my platform of assuring that there's equity in education and advocating for all children and instilling that we have, ensuring that we are doing a better job with recruitment and retention and family engagement and community partnership, it's relevant. It's extremely relevant during these times, especially with COVID-19. I am an educator and I am working in our schools during this time. I'm also a parent, so I'm having firsthand experience of what's working and what's not working. And moving forward, we need someone that has consistently done the work and knows what they're doing to ensure that we have high quality education for all children. So on or before November 3rd, please vote Caprice Edmond for Pinellas County School Board District 7 For additional information, you can visit my website at edmondforeducation.com. And remember that the voters are going to have to decide this race. I have been endorsed by several organizations and leaders in our community, which include Pinellas Classroom Teachers Association, Florida Education Association, Suncoast PBA, as well as Sierra Club, SEIU, and the list goes on and on. The most important endorsement would be you would be earning your vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Nurse, you have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. I believe the goal of a school system is to help every child reach their potential. There are two areas where I believe we need to invest more time, money, and energy. First, we need to ensure that kindergartners are ready for first grade before we promote them. It is no favor to students to promote them when they're not ready for the next grade. And this logic applies at every grade. The earlier we address students who are struggling, the better. Second, a high school diploma is not enough to earn a middle-class living. Most students do not get a traditional BA degree and are largely left to fend for themselves. We can make a major improvement in students' performance and futures by helping them design a learning path to good jobs. This includes apprenticeships, internships, certifications, 1- and 2-year college and technical programs. To bring these advances, the school board needs a diversity of skills to improve schools and to prepare the next generation to earn a good living. A school board without one member who has managed a real business lacks the needed skills to control its $300 million capital budget, its $150 million health insurance bill, or even its $25 million utility bill. After 34 years of running a business through 4 recessions, I know how to handle big budgets and control costs. The school board needs these skills more than ever to succeed in these uncertain times. We need to get the resources into the classrooms to improve our schools. I will bring the skills and the experience needed to make this a reality, not just the usual political sound bites. That's why the Tampa Bay Times said, "I turn ideas into results." I'm Carl Nurse, and I ask for your vote.
Well, that is Carl Nurse, a candidate for school board in District 7, South Pinellas County. His opponent is Caprice Edmond, who we heard from earlier. She's an elementary school educator, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. Who do you support in that race, or if that's not your district, what's your favorite race that you're following, and who do you support? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. And did you vote in person today? How long was your wait? Have you already voted, or who do you plan to support? We do want to hear about your experience. You can text 813-433-0885, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. This is Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. In just a minute or two, we're going to hear from the two candidates who are running for Pinellas County Sheriff. So every voter in Pinellas County can vote for this district. There's also a sheriff's race in Hillsborough County between 3 people, a Democrat, a Republican, and an NPA, a non-party affiliated candidate. And if you're not in Pinellas County, which races are you watching? Let me read this text that just came in from from Glenn in Zephyr Hills. He says, "I voted with an absentee ballot. I dropped it off at the supervisor of elections office inside. I'm going to vote straight Democratic ticket, which I've never done before." So that's what Glenn is telling us in Zephyr Hills. Thank you for that text. You can text 813-433-0885. And I should say that in the school district, there's also District 1, which is a countywide race in Pinellas County. Both candidates were invited to that League of Women Voters of St. Petersburg area, League of Women Voters of North Pinellas County Forum. Laura Hine and Stephanie Meyer were both invited. Meyer did not attend. The moderator read a statement from her, and Laura Hine did attend, and she read a statement. And we'll put video of all these forums on our website, wmnf.org/news. Should be up there later this afternoon. Let's turn now to the Pinellas County Sheriff's race. Eliseo Santana is a retired communications maintenance supervisor at the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. He's a Democrat, and he is challenging incumbent Sheriff Bob Gualtieri. This forum was also hosted by the League of Women Voters. It was moderated by attorney Tamara Felton Howard. And in this in this forum, you're going to hear about topics that we've talked a lot about on this show. Things like defunding police, reducing prison population during COVID-19, and enforcement of immigration laws. So let's hear the first segment of this debate, this forum between Eliseo Santana and Bob Gualtieri for Pinellas County Sheriff.
The first question will go to candidate Gualtieri. What are the top three qualities that you prioritize or would prioritize in selecting new recruits and why?
Well, we have to make sure that they have the right character, the right abilities, that they come from the right background, and the right commitment to service. Those are traits that we look for as we are recruiting people and selecting people. So we emphasize strong character and a commitment to public service. We want people that want to make sure that they're here for the right reasons and that they have the right perspective. So I think those were definitely the attributes and the right character that we want from the people that we're recruiting to be deputy sheriffs.
Thank you. Candidate Santana, same question.
Looking at increasing our diversity that we have, it's important to have people that are the deputies that represent the community that they're going to serve. Looking at maybe some different type of educational backgrounds that will be able to bring that new ability of the officer to be able to deal with situations. And also, I like the idea of giving a priority those individuals that live within the community, that want to work in the community rather than have outside. It is so important to make sure that whoever it is has the ability to communicate and to be able to have the value of being able to make our community safe and not necessarily use brute force or militarism to be able to impose in, but be able to bring in that collective of the community and community policing.
The second question, candidate Santana, how much emphasis do you or would you place on de-escalation during training of new recruits and current deputies and why?
I think it's essential. When you only train an officer to be able to take control of the situation and to use force and to impose themselves on it to be able to gain it, when that's the only option you have, then the outcome is not going to be good. We need to give them the ability of being able to have other choices, and that's where training comes into play, where they'd be able to see what is happening and bring down the situation. The more tools an officer has, the less likely that he is going to have to resort to brute force and violence and impose themselves on it. It does not create a safe situation for our community when them are the only choices that we have. So continued training of our officers is essential so that they'll be able to have other options.
Thank you. Candidate Gualtieri.
Oh, it's absolutely essential, and we do that now. You know, it's unfortunate that Mr. Santana is using the term about brute force because law enforcement officers don't use brute force. Law enforcement officers respond to resistance that is used against them. And I'd say that we have great success in our training. We have a stellar training unit, and we make sure that we instill those de-escalation principles. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. All you got to do is look at the numbers. We respond to about 500,000 calls for service a year. And last year, we only used force in about 400 of those 500,000 calls. So our use of force rate is 0.087%. We don't use force that much. And law enforcement responds to what people do to us. And that is the quintessential nature of de-escalation, is make every effort to resolve it in a peaceful way. And we do that, and we've done it very successfully, and we'll continue to do that.
Candidate Gualtieri, this is your the question number three. You will answer that first. How do you or would you evaluate a deputy's performance, and how is or would good performance be rewarded?
Well, we have extensive performance measures. We evaluate the deputies, and it is really, it has to be a holistic approach on what they do every day. It's everything from knowledge of laws, effective communication, being able to problem solve, to deal with community issues. Being a police officer and a law enforcement officer today is complex. It's a hard job. And we're very thankful for the men and women who decide to commit themselves to that. And so we want to make sure that as we are considering their performance, we're looking at the whole package. And it certainly is not based upon the number of arrests they make or the number of tickets they make. It's how they deal effectively with problems, resolve problems, and deal with the community. And I'd say one of the most effective tools that we use is how they communicate and resolve problems.
It is, because I am going to be emphasizing community policing rather than reacting to issues as they're occurring. But we're going to have officers in the ground being able to interact with the neighborhoods, with the individuals there. So we're going to be measuring with their ability to connect and to be able to resolve problems before they become an arrest issue. So we're going to have a lot of feedback by our community to be able to truly evaluate the performance of the officer in being able to establish that. We need to radically change the way we do law enforcement. Instead of being reactive when you're called to go in and try to resolve a situation and arrest somebody and take them to jail, we need to be able to have somebody there that knows the community, understands the issues, and are able to deal with that as a preventative rather than a reactive type of a situation.
Well, that's Eliseo Santana, a retired communications maintenance supervisor at the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. He's a Democrat running for sheriff of Pinellas County. He's challenging the incumbent sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, a Republican. This forum was hosted by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area and the League of Women Voters of North Pinellas County, moderated by attorney Tamara Felton Howard. It's 12:37 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday. I'm Sean Canaan, and we're taking a look at just a couple of the races that are out there among the dozens and dozens that are going on in this election season. Maybe you voted today during the first day of early in-person voting. Maybe you've already voted by mail, or maybe you're going to wait until election day. We'd like to know how you're voting in the manner of which way you're going to vote. Also, which candidates you support. Who would you like to see in these races? We saw earlier a school board race in District 7 in South Pinellas County, and this is the countywide Pinellas County Sheriff's Office that's up for election again. Bob Gualtieri is the incumbent. Who are you supporting in that race? And of course, we know that a lot of you live in other counties besides Pinellas. What about in your county? 813-239-9663 is the number to call in. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Make sure you put your name on the text, please. We're going to hear a little bit more from the race between Eliseo Santana, the Democrat, and Sheriff Bob Gualtieri, the Republican. Here's more about what they were talking about, things like reducing prison population during COVID-19 and enforcement of immigration laws.
Candidate Santana, what procedures do you or would you implement to ensure recruits hired and deputies already on staff don't espouse and act on beliefs of white supremacy or white nationalism?
When somebody outwardly demonstrates these type of characteristics, they are not going to be able to do their law enforcement as I see it. They do not uphold to the values that I have. And as sheriff, all of my deputies must uphold my values and be able to practice these things. It is essential that we deal with this outwardly discriminative type of behavior very quickly and empower those individuals that really want to make a difference to make a difference. And so... that is where we have to change that narrative. I need the officers to be able to act as if I was the one that was there. And as a person of color, as a person of the community, as a family man.
Sheriff Gualtieri.
I'll answer the question. I'll follow up from the previous question, too. We already have robust community policing throughout Pinellas County, throughout the Sheriff's Office. We have a dedicated community policing unit. We're very involved in all kinds of programs and services So what Mr. Santana is referring to has already been done here for years, and we do it extensively. We have great relationships with the community because of community policing. As far as this question is concerned, is that it comes down to culture of the agency. And to one, it's illegal, what you're talking about. And we only have, in the last 2 years, now think about this, and it shows that we have the right culture. In the last 2 years, we've responded to about 1 million calls for service, about 500,000 a year. We only have 3 bias-based policing complaints, 3 out of 1 million calls. We have the right training, the right culture, and it's instilling in people the sense of right and wrong and what is not going to be tolerated. And they know what we expect of them, and that is to treat everybody fairly and treat everybody right, and we won't tolerate that.
What can the sheriff's office do to reduce the level of human trafficking in this area? And this question goes to candidate Gualtieri.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's a very tough situation, especially in human trafficking is multifaceted. Most people think of human trafficking as being sex trafficking, but it also human trafficking is in other areas. And it's very prevalent within the Hispanic community as far as lawn services are concerned, within the Asian community, with restaurants. And people are living and working in very, very tragic situations because they are really in servitude. And it is also in the sex trade. And there's a lot of young boys and girls. So it's a matter of conducting robust investigations, but also education and counseling and trying to help these people break that cycle so that they don't become perpetual victims of those that are trying to exploit them. So we have a very dedicated Crimes Against Children unit. And in our investigative section, we dedicate resources to it to make sure we're detecting those, but also providing services and get our victim advocates involved and help rescue those people. And we support organizations that rescue as well.
Thank you, Candidate Santana.
We need to stop promoting fear. It is essential that those individuals in our community feel comfortable with being able to call and ask for help, particularly in these situations. When we place our deputies to be ICE enforcers, ICE agents, it removes that communication. It removes that ability of being able to truly resolve crimes that are happening in our community, not because they're not happening, but because people are afraid of reporting them. It is essential that we open that up and be able to be welcoming and truly have in the people that are skilled in investigating so that they can resolve these issues right from the start. But it starts with that trust between the community and the deputies.
Candidate Santana, what role should the sheriff's office play in immigration detentions in light of the current pandemic, and why?
We need to minimize the amount of individuals that are being arrested. It is essential that we adopt the court guidelines that we have that allow us to cite and release individuals that are not a danger to our community. Those individuals that are in our jail facility because they do not have the means to be able to pay their bail, they need to be also be addressed and released. I am extremely concerned with the COVID situation with pregnant women, the elderly, and people that have medical situations that make them very susceptible. We need to reduce our population, and we also need to make sure that our deputies adhere to all of the guidelines that are there, not just the deputies, but also the inmates, to be able to reduce the spread of COVID.
Thank you. Candidate Gualtieri.
We started this pandemic back in March with about 3,200 inmates in the Pinellas County Jail. It is now down to about 2,100 inmates. We've released over 1,100 inmates to help them get out, facilitate their release, and working with the courts and the other stakeholders in the criminal justice system. So it is important, and we've done it. We've reduced the jail population by 1,100 people. That's significant, and it's a good thing. As far as immigration goes, one of the things that is very important for everybody to understand is local law enforcement has no responsibility, no jurisdiction, no enforcement authority for immigration enforcement. That is solely within the province of the federal government and within the province of ICE. The Pinellas County Sheriff's Office does not participate in immigration enforcement at all. The only thing that we do is when somebody is a criminal illegal who's in the jail and committed a crime and ICE wants to come get them, then we allow ICE to come get them. But we do not do immigration enforcement.
Candidate Candidate Gualtieri, the next question is, what do you interpret calls for defunding law enforcement to mean, and what is your response to those calls?
Well, I think that when people are talking about defunding law enforcement, they're really not talking about defunding law enforcement. What they're really talking about is doing it in a better way, is looking at what we're doing and looking at the dollars and making sure the dollars are in the right place, and could they be better used to do it differently and better. I don't really think that the people that are calling for defunding are really talking about gutting law enforcement. People want safe communities. They want law enforcement to be effective, but they also want law enforcement to do it right and make sure that we are in our wheelhouse doing what we're supposed to be doing and allowing others to do those things that they need to be, especially in the area of mental health. We have our own dedicated mental health unit within the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. We're doing a lot of the things that people are calling for. We have licensed mental health counselors that are teamed with deputies to respond to calls. We formed PICA, which is the Pinellas Integrated Care Alliance, for case management. We're already doing, I would suggest, the majority of the things that people are talking about here in Pinellas County that they want already being done.
Candidate Santana.
When we have individuals that are being arrested because they're having a mental crisis, and with the COVID-19 situation, we're going to have a lot more of that happening. When we have individuals that are being arrested for drug abuse, and there again, we're going to have more of that. It is, the sheriff is right. We have a division, which is a medical division at our jail, which is spend significant amount of money, millions of dollars, to take care of the individuals, that if we spend that money ahead of time to have professionals, people that are able to handle these situations without having an arrest, we will be able to reduce the population that we have at the jail, reduce the amount of expenditure that we have currently to address these issues at the jail, and be able to have a safer community. It is important to be able to move the funds and resolve the issues at the very beginning rather than later.
Well, that is Eliseo Santana, a retired communications maintenance supervisor at the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. He's a Democrat running for sheriff of Pinellas County. He's challenging the incumbent sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, a Republican. And we're running this forum so that you can help make your decisions. Maybe you've already decided. Are you a Pinellas County resident? Who are you voting for sheriff? We'd like to know. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Of course, if you live outside of Pinellas, I'd like to hear about your voting experience as well, what races you're following. Here's Tommy, who writes for Bob, that's Sheriff Gualtieri, to say that fewer than 500 incidents of force by the police is misleading. Those are only the incidences that require documentation of police force. This is just spin. So that is what Tommy is saying out there in cyberspace. And let me read this text that came in from Seth in St. Petersburg before we go to the phone. And Seth writes, wow, Caprice Edmonds sounded like the far superior and qualified candidate after listening to her and Carl Nurse respond to questions just now. She definitely has my vote. And of course, that's referring to the school board race that happened that we were listening to in the first half of the show. And Seth goes on to say, with respect to voting in the November 3rd general election, my wife and I have secured mail-in ballots, but plan to vote early in person this week if the lines are not too long. Otherwise, we will fill out our ballots at home and drop them off in person. I will be filling out an all-Democrat ballot this year in this year's general election. This is not a common practice for me, but the GOP is unrecognizable as of late. Thank you, WMNF, for providing the independent, essential programming we need to build back a better community. So thank you for that email that came in from, or the text that came in from Seth in Pinellas County. Thank you so much for that. And you can send a text in as well, 813-433-0885. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813. I already gave out the text number. Here's the phone number, 813-239-9663. And let's go now to Mike in Tampa. Hi, Mike. You're not in Pinellas, but were you calling to weigh in on the Pinellas sheriff race?
Well, I can't wait on Pinellas sheriff race because I don't know what you're about. I can wait on the Hillsboro sheriff race.
And before you go on, let me remind people who is in that race, and that is the incumbent sheriff, a Republican, Chad Cronister. He has two opponents. Gary Pruitt is a Democrat, and Ron McMullen has no party affiliation. So go on, Mike.
Yeah, I'm voting for Ron McMullen, the no party affiliate guy. I was very surprised that the Democratic Party would not endorse the candidate in that way. They would not even endorse their own candidate. And that was very surprising to me. Go ahead.
Well, so you're surprised that the Democrats didn't endorse Gary Pruitt, but you didn't vote for, or you're not planning on voting for him either. So what is it about Ron McMullen?
Well, he's a no party, and every time there's a no party of sort, or third party, or independent, or anything other than Democrat or Republican, I always vote for the no party of sort. That's just a basic principle of me. And I voted for Gloria Rivera for president on the Socialism and Liberation Party.
I'm going to interrupt you one more time, and just to point out, Gloria La Rivera was in the Tampa Bay area recently, and I believe I'm going to be able to play some audio from her in an upcoming show before the election, because she is on the ballot.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's the principle of me, not to vote Democrat or Republican if I can help it. I also voted against Kathy Castor because and she was first land. She was endorsed by Michael Schiavo, and I don't agree with this petition on the Kerry Schiavo case. And I also voted against her because she splinched with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz lied to my face at USF about being neutral between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders when she was giving money to Hillary Clinton the whole time.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for calling. Okay. Thank you for calling in. And if you'd like to join and tell us what your thoughts are on the election, if you agree with Mike or disagree, please give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Alita writes in and says that she is voting for Santana. That's Eliseo Santana for Pinellas County Sheriff. And we're going to hear just a little bit more from both the candidates for Pinellas County Sheriff, and then we'll be back to take your calls in just a few minutes. This is 88.5 WMNF Tampa. It's 12:53 in the afternoon. But let's hear Tamara Felton Howard, attorney Tamara Felton Howard, moderating this forum between Republican Sheriff Bob Gualtieri and his Democratic opponent, Eliseo Santana.
Candidate Santana, what precautions would you have in place to protect the public, people arrested, and those working at the jails from community spread of COVID-19?
It starts at the very top. As sheriff, I will wear protective mask and I will practice safe distancing and all of the guidelines that are done. And I will have all of my officers, my deputies, practice these things also, compliant with the county regulations that have been put forth to keep our community safe. We need to institute being able to have this sterilization and be able to have this cleanliness in our jail. But I think the most important thing in there is to make sure that our population is reduced, that only those individuals that are a threat to our community are within that environment. And just a reminder that our deputies have families and they go home after being at work. And so it's essential that we attack these things and do all the practices necessary to keep the inmates, our officers, and our community safe from COVID-19.
Candidate Gualtieri?
Yeah, I want to reemphasize that, again, we reduced the jail population to get people out. One of the best things we could do is get people who don't need to be there out. We've reduced the jail population since March by 1,100 inmates. And we implemented robust procedures right off the bat. We screened everybody coming into the jail. Everybody that did come in that couldn't get out went into a 14-day quarantine. We locked the jail down. No professional visitors were coming in. We had everybody mandatory masks, and we had great success. In fact, we didn't have our first person test positive in the jail for COVID until June because of the great measures we took. And again, they were across the board, very significant, following all of the CDC guidelines, all of the national guidelines and local requirements. So we had great success. Today, right now, we only have four inmates. that have tested positive that are in the jail right now. So we, the measures have worked. The proof is in the pudding, as they would say, because we took it seriously, we continue to, and we're committed to minimizing the effect of COVID.
Candidate Gualtieri, what do you think should be done to prevent mass shootings in schools when schools return to being fully opened?
Well, as some may know, I was tasked by the governor to chair the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Public Safety Commission to investigate the Parkland shooting and to make recommendations to improve school safety. The commission has been meeting for a couple of years now. The commission will meet until 2023. We've delivered two robust reports to the governor and the legislature that have resulted in significant changes. And some of the best things that we can do is to prepare the students and prepare the teachers so unfortunately, when it does happen again, that they know what to do and how to react. So it's training, it's drills, it's locking down, hardening facilities, knowing where to go and knowing what to do and knowing how to respond and making sure that law enforcement is prepared to immediately respond and to address the situation. That's what the problem was in Parkland, is people didn't know what to do, where to do it or how to do it, because there wasn't the adequate training procedures and policies in place. And that's what we have done and what we need to continue to do is to educate everybody.
Thank you, Candidate Santana.
It is important to make sure that our schools are hardened, that that the entry and exit is limited and the ability of somebody coming in is minimized. We need to be able to bring all the electronics necessary so we can have that surveillance and ability to truly see what's going on and react and be able to close down the school automatically. The SROs, the school resource officers, are essential to this. I am going to hand-pick every SRO that is going to be within our schools to make sure that they're able to have all of the training necessary to keep our children safe, but also to act as counselors, as be able to help in that process and be able to have the de-escalation process well taken, have the restorative justice principles applied. It is essential that we also establish community policing to eliminate that threat at the beginning.
Candidate Santana, does your office or would your office hire deputies released from other county agencies that have had prior disciplinary records for excessive force?
No. We will truly evaluate that to make sure that all of the issues are fairly addressed. But when we have an agency that has, out of the 32 that are command level staff, out of the 32, we have the majority. No, we have 30 of them that look like the sheriff and only two identify themselves as person of colors. We do not have the ability of being able to promote people and to keep deputies in place. That leads us to be able to increase the amount of recruitment that we have. With truly doing what we need to do and having a new sheriff there, we're going to be able to have a lot of recruits coming in, and we do not have to rely on taking these leftovers there from other locations. I will not allow that to occur.
Candidate Gualtieri?
The answer is no, absolutely not. I'm not sure what Mr. Santana is referring to. Our attrition rate is only about 8%, and most of that is through normal retirement. We only hire, and I only approve for hiring, about 10% of the people who apply. We go through a very, very extensive, thorough background and vetting process. And unless people are of the highest caliber, the highest character, we do not hire them. We have the ability, for being a premier law enforcement agency in this country, to be very selective and to make sure that we only hire the best of the best. We don't hire anybody else's baggage, retreads, discards, and never have, and we never will.
Well, that is Sheriff Bob Gualtieri, a Republican running for re-election in Pinellas County. His opponent, his Democratic opponent, Eliseo Santana, we heard from him as well. Early in-person voting began this morning, and you can request a mail-in ballot between now and October 24th. The last day to vote or to drop off your mail ballot is November 3rd. I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. Thank you to Alvaro Montealegre and to Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero Mark Bureau will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and make sure you vote.